Good morning, sloppers. You're up to the episode 216. This episode was lost. It was gone. We had a computer issue and the whole episode crashed. However, what we managed to save it is what you're about to hear. So there are some clunkier bits where you're like, what the hell just happened there? We apologise. We'd rather put the episode out so you've got something to listen to than just not put it out at all. But maybe in the first 2-3 minutes, there's these little things that'll pop up where you go, oh, what are they talking about? Just know it's a belter of an episode. 9 out of 10 Club World Cup's great. And I've been to Blackpool, Joe Smith's been to Apple Day, and Ethan's just Ethan. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the podcast for the sisters and bros. It will make you laugh from your head to your toes. Talking about their lives, from the highs to the lows. And the name of the title goes, The Sloppy Joes.
Welcome everyone to the Sloppy Joes podcast. Hope you're doing well, and thanks for all the wonderful comments on my editing skills from last week's episode. It's Joe McGrath here with Joe Smith.
If I've died at the marathon, are we still airing this?
Yeah, 100%.
Really?
Well,
do you know what? I'd like you to. Because it is a small possibility, but it is a possibility.
What do we do there, Ethan?
Well, I think what we'll do is we'll do a little thing at the start of the episode and we'll go, you know, you've heard the news, but yeah. We think Joe would have loved this. He loved making people laugh. So we are going to show the very last show and we'll play it. And at the end, it just fades up with Joe in black and white from 93 to 2024 with a bit of like a no noise, just that for 20 seconds.
No nonsense.
The no noise thing I'll argue with. I wonder if we put one of his mad little noises that he used to make.
What is jingle?
Okay, I've got one. So you wake up and you're in the middle of the forest, a rainforest, and you're looking up and you see the canopy of the trees with just some light getting in. Your eyes are waking up like you've been asleep for weeks. Darren Brown smuggled you onto a plane somehow after making you think that you've killed all your family and friends, even though he did it and it should really be sent to prison for that, like Charles Manson was, but he didn't. And you wake up and the first thing you hear in this new land is this noise. That hit my ears. Is that right?
I was just wondering.
Play that behind my little grey picture.
I was just wondering, do you know how you were like saying you want all your money to people who donate money to the charity?
Yeah, not all of my money.
No, sorry.
My money stays with me. But my loved ones.
I think you're selfish.
Why? What, for donating to charity?
Yeah, wild take. A wild take.
Right. Yeah, sorry, Twitter.
No, but I'm thinking you should actually tell everybody to donate it all to your loved ones.
No, but here's the problem with that. They'll probably do what they did with Jay Slater, where they'll look at my mum's old tweets and then not want to give her the money after that. I'm saying my mum has got Twitter even, or any opinions like that, but everyone thought they were doing a good thing. And then next thing you know, GoFundMe, more like go fuck yourself, because they wouldn't give him any more money, would they? So if, at least if it's a charity, they're not going to screw them over like they did the good Slater family.
I suppose you could give them all your apples that you've collected.
You can have my apples. Who? Charity?
Oh, sorry, your loved ones.
Yeah, my loved ones can each have an apple each, and you can carve their faces on it, if that's okay, Ethan.
But then again, what Apple Day is.
So it's not just the Morris dancing. It's not just the picking the apples. It's everything put together. Inside the hall, we started off with a little bit of cake. Guess what cake it was?
It's not apple cake.
Apple cake.
But is that not?
Apple and cinnamon cake.
Do you know? Where's the pie?
What?
Was there apple pie kicking around?
There wasn't any apple pie. Which
crumble.
No crumble.
What?
It was all cakes and breads. Now you say that, there should have been some apple pies there.
But is it nice? Delicious?
It's absolutely delicious. We had a pork and stuffing sandwich. Oh, what does this need? A little bit of
applesauce.
Applesauce. And was there applesauce? Just a bit, mate.
And the rest.
So we had some applesauce sandwiches with stuffing and pork. We had some apple cake, a little cup of tea. Then we walked around the hall, people making little apple Christmas decorations.
Nice.
There's one road down, one whole side of the little town hall thing is just little paper plates full of different apple breads and apple cakes and apple breads and apple cakes.
And you can just, is it a, you can buy it, you pay for a ticket?
No, you just turn up. Free samples as well. all of them, free samples.
Does anyone else know about this, Dave?
Well, I don't know. Find your local Apple Day. This one's in, I think it's East Markham, or somewhere around there. It's Retford, anyway, near Retford, in Nottinghamshire. Might be Yorkshire, actually, Retford.
Wow.
That area, anyway, near Worksop. There's also a big steam engine.
Oh, brilliant.
It turns up, doesn't drive around,
engines.
There's just a dog that sits next to it, like it owns it.
Could do.
And again, this is what I was going to say before, and I did mention this last year, but it just confirmed it. With the Morris dancing, with the apple, there's someone who's spinning apples, crushing them down, making apple juice. You just donation. No fee, right, just a little donation. Yeah. But there's always...
You donate a pair.
Everyone is 75 years old doing the Morris dancing, and then there's one 23-year-old.
Sometimes they're fit.
They're always a little bit fit. It's the same with the Salvation Army. It's the same in a charity shop. It's the same at a car boot sale. It's the same with the Morris dancing.
Can I say sometimes?
What's going on?
Sometimes as well. It's the people who stand outside handing leaflets. What charity are they from?
The church.
What?
Do you know the people from the church who give the leaflets out up near Piccadilly Station?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Now and again, you think, I might get one. A leaflet.
I might believe.
Do you know what I mean, Ethan?
I took a leaflet the other day from someone who's telling me about the Lord.
Did
I just thought that's probably made you feel a bit better by taking that leaflet, I thought.
Did you read it? Don't laugh. Don't chuckle and say no, like you're too good for God.
I'm not too good for God. I just don't think that man's leaflet was the answer. He should have given me a Bible.
Were they attractive?
No.
But why? There's a little thing of that. Everyone's 75. I don't know. Little 19-year-old fella.
No, they're going up. They're going down in age. Go up. 23, 24, 25.
Interesting, that is great.
Best apple of the day? Do you have one?
Best apple of the day. The problem is I don't do it by name. I can tell what it looked like. And I've still got some in my fridge. So if we do record another episode before they go bad, I'll bring some in.
I can tell you what an apple looked like.
All right, what's an apple look like?
Like a sort of apple with red, which red and greenish.
Okay, what texture is it?
Crunchy on the outside.
No, what texture is the surface of it?
Rough.
Rough outside of an apple, is it? They're usually quite shiny, aren't they, apples?
Yeah, okay, why? Is yours shiny?
No.
Rough, is it?
Looks like it's been tarmacked, this one. It's got this thick, rough kind of browny grey outside. Ooh. To it.
Do you have to peel it?
No. It's so hard and crisp. They're unbelievable. They've been in the fridge for nearly 2 weeks now and they're still fine. They're so fine. Do you know normal fruit? Do you know what they do with it? Because obviously you can't get a banana grown in the UK basically at all anyway. But let's say there's some fruits that only grow certain times a year, but they want to be able to give you them all year round. Do you know what they do with fruit?
Well,
they put it in massive like warehouses, like aircraft hangars, at like 2 degrees Celsius. And they fill the room with nitrogen. So there's no oxygen in the room.
Whoa.
So, because the thing that makes things age and decay is things oxidizing and bacteria growing and stuff like that.
Would you die if you go in that room?
You might do. You might die.
Jesus.
I don't know, actually. Eventually you probably would, yeah.
Eventually you probably
would. But
they
just fill it with inert gas so they can last for like 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 2 months, 3 months. And then they bring them to you, and that's why sometimes you have fruit and it just never ripens properly.
Yeah.
Probably because it was picked 4 months ago and it's been kept just above freezing for half a year.
Mad.
And then all of a sudden it's expected to be a fruit again. But yeah,
Apple Day sounds unbelievable.
Fantastic. Only mistake we made is we probably had too much food before we hit the orchard. Because you're talking circa 120 different apple trees
to
try.
That's unbelievable.
And the rule is, Dad's rule, because you don't just want to be guessing what you like. You want to taste them, obviously, before you put them in your bag. But you don't want to be pulling them off the tree, biting it, not liking it, and wasting it. So you're allowed to eat the ground fruit. So when you go in, the stuff that's already fallen to the ground, pick that up, have a bite of that. If you like it, get a couple off the tree.
That's nice. That's
so it's got a real kind of... What's a little Beatrix Potter vibe to it?
Yeah.
There's one kid. There's one room. There's like a little hut. There's like and you go in and it's quite surreal. It's got a bit of like Alice in Wonderland feel to it. You go in and there's just apples everywhere. Like each of three or four of every variety is in this hut that's about the size of this table. And you walk in and this little kid walked out, so gutted. He went, "There's no sandwiches in there," because his mum promised him sandwiches, and he went to the wrong place, and it was just loads of apples, and he came out all sad.
Mad.
It was great, so good, so many apples. Do you like apples?
I really love apples.
Yeah,
I really love apples. I think they're my favourite.
Do you eat them a lot? I've never seen.
Nah, blueberries are now number one fruit of all time.
All time.
All time.
It's the only blue fruit as well, isn't it? Which is amazing.
Yeah, it's got like a tint of blue. What is it, proper blue?
I think blueberries are blue.
Yeah, blueberries are blue.
Did you know that until recently, until like the last few hundred years, you know,
it's not too recent, that does it?
In Earth's history, it is. Until very recently, last few hundred years, it's possible that humans didn't see the colour blue.
What?
You're talking shit.
That's not true.
Look up.
Yeah.
What did they think the sky was?
They didn't know. They didn't see it.
What do you mean they didn't know?
Because there's evidence for this. There's evidence for this.
All right. What evidence? Do you mean dark blue?
No, blue. There wasn't a word for blue until like not that long ago. A couple thousand years ago, maybe most.
That was a couple thousand years ago.
I need to get the numbers on this, but within the sort of the lifespan of a book, they didn't have the word for blue, because in the Bible the word blue isn't mentioned.
Okay.
And the ocean and the sea is described as things like wine dark, and like other words are used instead of blue. Because if you think about it, in nature there are very, very few things that are blue. In the actual world,
one of the big ones are the skies.
No,
and
the sky is a great one, but also people were too busy tilling
looking
the fields.
Down,
man.
Yeah, looking down.
You didn't look
no
up.
One looked up.
People didn't look up, and also most oceans aren't blue. Go to Skegness and tell me that's blue. It looks like a car park.
You would say all skies are.
Yeah, but here's the thing: we didn't. Our eyes weren't. Didn't need to notice it.
The
ability to care about the sky is very much a modern privilege.
You're talking. Stop talking. I've been to Blackpool. Let's move on.
Here's the thing. No, I need to say this is true. There's a circle, a wheel of colours, right? Because what we were very good at in the West, and any part of the world where hunting in kind of like foliage was big, so not just the West, but across the world, we were very good at distinguishing between different shades of green.
Right.
Because if something's in the trees and you've got this tree and that tree and a shrub there and that, and then a deer's
predators.
In there, or a frog is in there, and you want to be able to kill it, or it's coming for you, being able to tell between different colours of green is very beneficial, isn't
it? Yeah, of course.
So the people who evolved in grassy and tree shrubby areas can tell between very tiny differentiations of green. And blue is just green in a way. Right?
You need to stop.
However, here's the other thing. If you show that same green colour circle with one green dot different to all the rest, you would immediately go, that one's different. They showed the same colour wheel to people from the sort of Arctic regions where there isn't much green foliage, and instead it's a lot of ice and a lot of different textures, colours. They couldn't see the green difference. This is true.
Yeah.
They couldn't
see
it.
It's like when you get your eye tested, you've got to see a number inside the little balls.
We've evolved to have slightly different vision and different colours. And one thing we never really evolved to until recently was to be able to see and notice blue.
Wow.
That's true.
Do you notice
Google
blue,
that.
Ethan?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I don't think you do.
Oh, well, I guess we'll never understand each other.
It's amazing, isn't it?
No, never do.
That is honestly true, though. Look into that if you don't believe me. And they can see different colours of blue that we can't, because they're used to the blues of water. Seafaring ice fellows. Blackpool.
I'm a little bit sleepy today.
Not like you.
And there's a reason.
Sleepy Joe?
Yesterday. Nice. I went to Blackpool.
Oh.
Now, Blackpool is a once-a-year extravaganza visit for me and Becky.
Yeah.
We do it when the Blackpool Illuminations are on.
Yeah.
And I honestly, every single time I go to Blackpool, I'm stunned by the place.
It is a stunning place. It's one of those places...
But it's bizarre.
That horrific. I've only been to once, maybe twice.
You've been there once?
Well, I'm not from around here, am I?
That's true. It's not too far away, though.
No, it's not. And I have been... and it's everything you dreamed it would be, isn't it?
It's crazy.
It is crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Ethan, have you been?
Yeah, I went for the darts recently, and when I was walking through actual Blackpool, proper Blackpool.
Oh, there is two types of Blackpool, isn't there?
There was a park that was had a slide that didn't properly land, so you couldn't really use it because it wasn't much of a slope. And there was about quite a lot of green grass around it, and it was all surrounded by chicken wire with no entry.
Was it a farm?
No, I didn't know. No.
Could but have been a farm.
I don't know how the kids would have got in there.
Roof of a chicken hut.
Yeah.
Thinking it was a slide.
And everybody there is sad, I hear.
No, right, so there's two types of Blackpool. The Blackpool I went enjoyed.
That's our Blackpool correspondent, Ethan James, there. Just to recap, Blackpool does have a slide, but it's surrounded by chicken wire and it's a farm and people are sad. But
Blackpool I like is on the seafront, where you've got just like the three piers. You've got North Pier, South Pier, Central Pier, bang in the middle. All right, and it's just full of hotels as well, full of like crazy amusement parks. The Blackpool Tower, which is there for ages ago. Yeah. And I am fascinated by the place. We got there, 6:15. A little bit of sunshine still, so we go on the beach with Bucky. He can't get over sand. Mm. He loves sand.
For a dog, it's almost impossible to comprehend sand.
It is unbelievable. I had to have a wee on the beach.
Can we also say it's kind of impossible to comprehend sand even as a human?
Took me 15 years.
What?
Took me 15 years to do that.
To do what?
Get over sand. Because I couldn't touch it as a kid. I used to. There's pictures of me as a kid on a beach with my hands up like this because it was freaking me out, the texture. Same with chalk and sand.
Wow.
That's why I can't go barefooted in the sand.
Could you still not go barefooted in the sand?
I can now. Oh, sorry, I just took me away for a moment there. I just struggle with the idea.
I struggle
with the idea of the sand. It's the... Do you know what else gets you really bad?
Imagine it between like your armpit and your arm or something, or like in your nook of your neck.
Do you know what the worst bit is?
What?
The combination of the second worst feeling.
What?
Sandals.
Imagine you've got a flip-flop between your toes.
Yeah.
And grating between the flip-flop and your
misery.
Toe skin is loads of sand.
Misery.
Yeah, that is horrible.
And they go hand in hand as well.
Hand in hand. How does sand happen?
It's just lots of rocks, isn't it?
I know, but we're all told that. But why is it happening?
What do you mean?
Glass.
Not glass. Is it?
It's glass.
Are you saying it's glass?
No, glass.
Glass. Rocks and glass rub together so much that every beach in the world has got sand on it.
Yeah.
Except some beaches which have got really big sand on in the form of pebbles. I'm not buying it.
It's
bollocks.
Space, doesn't it?
It does. Can I tell you a fact about sand?
Yeah.
This is a big Joe fact day today, isn't it?
Me.
Hopefully this one's true. Did you know the...
For sake. Right, let me get back to my Blackpool story.
I'm so close to knowing something.
I love Blackpool so much. Went on the beach, we walked to the tower, we went on a couple of the games, we had fish and chips and an ice cream. It was incredible. We actually saw the Blackpool illumination as well. I loved it.
Yeah.
But I breathed in the sea air, my friend, and that knocked me spark out. I couldn't believe getting up this morning. I couldn't get out of bed.
Yeah.
I'm normally roll out of bed, ready for the day. You know, let's see you. Come on, let's have it. It's the sea air, my friend.
What is it? What's it got in it?
The oxygen. Fentanyl. The oxygen. Can knock your spark out. Have a good day there. But I wanted to do a little bit of research about the Blackpool lights.
Oh yes.
Because when we were driving on the way home, I listened to a podcast. It's sad, all about the Blackpool illuminations, how they started, why they started, etc., etc. They started in fucking ages ago. 1879.
Really?
1879
Did we even have lights then?
Well, that was why it became an attraction, because it started by... The festival started by just really 8 really bright lights. Because no one even...
Like those ones that you see at the top on the top of a Land Rover.
Yeah, no one really saw lights before.
Was that when Swan and Edison were going head to head back in the day?
Yeah, it was.
That
it was actually
still there, isn't it, the Swan and Edison?
12 months. It was actually 12 months before Edison patented the light bulb.
Wait!
Bikes.
Blackpool illumination started before the light bulb.
Yeah, that's why it was a thing.
That's one of the greatest
facts
I've ever heard.
It was, they started before Edison patented the light bulb design.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of arguments about light back in the day, wasn't there?
So what was that Blackpool? Were there bulbs?
No, well, here we go. The illuminations were first shown in 1879 and were described as artificial sunshine. Just 8 arc lamps, which were bathed on the promenade.
Wow. Imagine seeing that, because until then, the only light in the world is the sun or fire.
Yeah,
and now you've got both of those things man-made.
It's harnessed. Crazy. And since 1934... obviously, there's a little break during the war. It's been a tradition for someone to turn on the lights.
Yeah.
So I've got a list of people.
Is that where that comes from then?
What?
Do you know, like, towns up and down the country will turn their Christmas lights on and you get a celebrity in or you get someone famous in? Is that all come from Blackpool?
I believe so, yeah.
Wow.
Just going through some of the names here, anyone has done it.
Can I guess a couple that I think will definitely be on there? Cliff Richard must have done it.
Cliff Richard has done it, yeah.
Cliff Richard's done it. Has Cilla Black ever done it?
She's a local.
Oh, Adele was doing something in Blackpool, I think.
Yeah. Let me just have a look here. Tony Blackburn's done it.
Of course.
Gordon Banks has done it.
Himself.
Ken Dodd did it.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to say that?
What? Doddy did it?
Doddy did it. Frank Bruno did it.
Yeah, of course.
The Bee Gees have done it. Oh. Michael Ball's done it.
Yeah.
David Tennant's done it. The Stig did it.
No, he didn't.
He said the Stig in 2008 did the Blackpool light.
Forget how big the Stig was.
Now, recent years have been crazy.
Stig.
How mad's this? Tim Burton, the film director, did it.
No way.
In 2015, he turned on the Blackpool lights. Peter Kay's done it. Jonathan Ross has done it recently. Yeah. The Strictly Come Dancing judges all did it. Mel B did it this year. But
You'd be gutted if you got fucking Strictly judges, wouldn't you? I know that's nice, but come on. Len Goodman, pop in the little light button.
Let me take you back to 1977. Where the first non-human did it.
We've got to guess who it is.
Yeah.
The first non-human. Was it K-9 from Doctor Who? No.
Wow.
No.
Oh.
Was it a Dalek or a Cyberman?
No.
Can you give us a clue?
It was living.
Well, they're all living.
No, it's not. No.
Is it a real...
Oh, it would be a real dog.
No, it's not a real dog.
Was it a chimp?
You're on the right line.
An elephant from the zoo.
No.
Blackpool. A seal.
No, not a seal. But you're on the animals key.
A cat.
No, not the cat.
A wasp. A very angry wasp.
No, bigger.
A bee.
No, bigger than a bee.
Bigger than a bee.
Huge.
I don't know. What's bigger than a bee?
A falcon. Why? Right, stop. Why would an animal have such fate? Like, be so famous they could turn on some lights?
Okay.
Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Tony the Tiger.
He was not Tony the Tiger.
Ant.
From
Middleton,
Ant and Deck. No.
From SAS Who Dares Wins.
It was Red Rum, the horse.
Fuck. What?
They created a thing where he had to like eat something and he pulled it back. It turned on the entire lights in 1977.
That's life.
That's incredible, isn't it, Ethan?
Red Rum, did he win much?
Just a bit, yeah. Is he the one who went missing, or was that Shergar?
What?
Who was the one that went missing and they never found it?
They never found it?
Well, one of them, yeah. One of the great racehorses. I don't know. I'm asking you that.
He was
asking Johnny.
Oh, I remember now. He was dressed in blue, and no one could differentiate him between
the sky.
All the different skies. I think that might be Shergod. Is that the sky?
I'm sick of you. Right.
Or you might be confusing it with the World Cup trophy from 1966.
Yeah, a dog found red rum in the back streets of London.
The old Jules Rimet. Here we go. Yes, humans can see blue, but the concept of blue is relatively new.
I'm talking about red rum or Shergard,
you
please.
You mentioned blue. Now let's have a look. Which race horse was stolen? Shergard was stolen by an armed gang in 1983. Negotiations were conducted, but the gang broke off all communication after 4 days, and the syndicate did not accept as true proof, provided that the horse was still alive. The horse was never seen since.
Some facts about Blackpool before I wrap up.
Yeah.
It became big because trains went there.
Classic.
It became a health resort.
Health?
People loved it. Health, yeah.
What do you mean health resort, though?
It was the healthiest place in Europe.
In what sense?
Health.
No, that's not just a...
Because the air and the sea and the beach and all that.
Yeah.
Health. One of the piers was built for the rich,
Then another pier was built for the poor because they got jealous. But the rich didn't want the poor people on there.
So is the rich one way nicer?
They're all a bit shit. They're all a bit shit. Yeah. The Eiffel Tower and Blackpool Tower, how many years apart?
Five.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah, five.
Which one came first?
Yeah, but you'd be stunned, wouldn't you? You think, that's incredible. The Eiffel Tower, and the Blackpool boys just went, we'll build one bigger as well.
How much is Blackpool Tower as big as the Eiffel Tower?
It's nearly there.
Yeah, it's nearly there.
It's nearly there.
And only 5 years later, the technology had regressed.
Yeah, some of my favourite things are going past hotels where they tell you why you should go to them rather than other hotels. So like colour TVs.
Is that still on there?
Bars that sell beer.
You're joking.
And lifts that go all the way to the top.
They love it. It is so good, Blackpool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go there, have a look. The McDonald's in there is great. When we went there.
Go there. What the fuck are you talking about? Go there and go to the McDonald's.
Because it's faulty.
What the fuck is he talking about? Because when
we went there, there was a faulty machine and the Coke had too much syrup in it.
Oh, well, fingers crossed, everyone, if you go to one of the premier destinations of the seaside of the UK, that faulty machine from 2 years ago is still faulty. So you can get a slightly more sugary Coke.
Right then, it's time for the 9 out of 10 Club World Cup as it continues. We're almost through the round of 32, Joe.
It's been an incredible ride.
It's been a very incredible ride, and we've got two just large hitters today. Two large hitters, one of which is very close to your heart.
Yeah.
Well, let's just get straight into it. It is the Domino's Mighty Meaty Pizza.
Brilliant.
Which, when it was first brought to our attention, no one thought it was getting in.
And then we ate it
and went, actually, we can't deny we love it. We were all giggling and like little schoolboys. And the second one is the buffalo chicken wings.
Buffalo chicken wings.
That is you as a food, isn't it? So let's get into this.
I fucking love both of them.
Buffalo chicken wings.
Buffalo chicken wings. Hold We've gone for standard. Oh, so normally buffalo chicken wings are made with, you'd go with a chili sauce. Often companies go with Frank's Red Hot. Yep. Butter, unsalted butter, because can we get too salted. A little bit of vinegar. And that way you get this really nice silky texture. Then it's up to the company of choice to do whatever they want, blue cheese wise or ranch wise.
I always thought as a youth that it was from the animal, the buffalo.
You thought the buffalo wing was from the animal?
Yeah, but obviously they don't have wings.
No.
And imagine if they did, how big they'd be.
They'd be fucking huge. I've dived in already because Joe led the way with the buffalo wing. I do love buffalo wings. It's silky, tangy, a little bit of heat should be there, but it shouldn't be too overpowering because you should be able to sit in front of the football and watch like 18 of them and eat 18 of them, not watch 18 of them.
You will just sit down and watch them, won't you? Watch a few wings go by.
Yeah, my pastime.
So how many wings do you think you've eaten in your life, Joe?
Didn't we do the maths on this, isn't it? 30,000.
I just love hearing you say it.
Definitely on the weekend, which I've talked about, it was unlimited wings.
And how many did you had?
They brought us a tray, and I had a lot of this tray.
Did you?
They had a breakfast wing, which I talked about. They had a buffalo wing. Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
So, right, and then it's the Mighty Meaty Pizza.
We've got onions on there, we've got mushrooms. Ham, the mushrooms on there?
Sausage, pepperoni, onion, mushroom.
Right.
That's the combo. Let's
now, part of the key for the Domino's brand is the garlic sauce, isn't it? Which I'm going to have a dip in. Yeah. Ethan, you've got everything over there that you need, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Which one have you started? Have you started with the wings?
Oh, yes. They're all gone now.
Can you speak a little bit more so I can eat my pizza, please?
Yeah, of course. Well, the buffalo wing is probably the world's most popular flavour of wing. I would certainly argue the case for that. And the thing is, here, wherever we've got this buffalo wing from, are we just doing a general representation of the buffalo wing on this occasion? More than this specific one. That specific one was fantastic.
It was a very good one.
It's hard to get the buffalo wing wrong, but like you said, the right balance between spiciness and tanginess.
But also,
it's exciting.
I have had it badly before.
Oh,
I have had bad buffalo wings. Mm. Do you know sometimes where the sauce is too buttery and it's all sort of run off the wings and you've just got a load of orange sort of buttery oil in the, around the base of the wing and they don't actually taste of the sauce? That can happen. That didn't happen with these. These were very good wings.
Very good. Right, I'm going to write down my winner.
Yeah. You know what?
Are you finding it tricky or easy this, Ethan?
Eating the pizza.
No.
They're both very enjoyable. We haven't really talked about the pizza. I think... I remember when we got this in last time when we were just mesmerised, weren't we?
Yeah.
Domino's is very... Is it the best pizza chain or is it not?
I think it is. It's better than Pizza Hut, Papa John's, Pizza Express, but I don't really like Pizza Express.
I don't know if it... Is it better than those things? It's also... Let's not forget, it's 25 quid for that pizza.
What?
Yeah. We've got a 50% off voucher, which is kind of a weird thing that Domino's do, where it's like, no matter when you go, there's ridiculous offers on. But if you aren't accessing those offers, that's 25.
That's pounds. 25 quid.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I've taken into consideration everything. Flavour, price point.
Don't even know how much
my own personal... I can make it up. My own personal allegiances as well. I know what I voted for.
Well, speaking of that, on Patreon and on Instagram, we put the poll out as well. I'm going to start with the Patreon vote. 66% said Buffalo Wing.
Wow.
So, you know, let's just...
1-0 to them.
So it's 1-0 to the Wing. I'm going to say right now, when this came up, I thought it's going to be close because remember how giddy we were about the pizza that time. Tasting them both next to each other, there's no contest.
Really?
It's so easy. The answer is obvious. It's clear. It's just an absolute 100% chicken wings.
The chicken wings.
It's head and shoulders above.
Wow.
Head and shoulders is fantastic. Buffalo sauce is fantastic. Frank's Red Hot is one of the great culinary inventions of all time.
It is.
It's
really
absolutely unbelievable. And this pizza's nice.
It's good. It's nice.
It's a bit cakey. It's not. Do you know what? This pizza isn't as good as that curry that we had on Friday.
Yeah, that was delicious.
That's not as good as this. This isn't as good as that. So,
Ethan, do you want to add some jeopardy in the vote? Tell me what you voted for.
Well,
you look like a fucking mess there with your sticky orange fingers.
I must say. I've ate everything. And that's going to make a bit of a battle on the hands, isn't it? But what I've managed to do is I've used my pinky finger against this finger here that nobody really knows what it's called.
The third one.
Pressed them against each other to write on my whiteboard to avoid getting the pen all orangey. Because I have made a decision. And that decision is the wing.
Hey!
The
wing.
I tell you what, we don't even need your vote, Joe.
I have been the Buffalo Wings as well, so it would have been a clean... Oh. Sorry, it would have been a clean sweep. The Buffalo Wings are definitely in the next round.
Buffalo Mings, you've written there famously.
Did I?
How did the did you read the Patreon and Instagram?
Well, Instagram's only needed if it goes to sudden death, don't forget.
Correct, yeah. They were both wings. It's a clean sweep for the wings.
Clean sweep for the wings. Hey, how incredible.
What a day. We're almost toward the end of the first round of the 9 out of 10 World Cup, by the way.
This is going to be interesting.
Only a couple more to go, and then then it starts getting just carnage after that.
Taste it. Should we do a top three?
Go on, then. This week, we're going to be doing top three video games.
Brilliant.
Big one, this. Big topic.
Huge
And you
topic.
May think, you don't play a lot of video games, but think about, there's a lot of things that may be a video game, but you don't necessarily think it is.
Yeah.
Like sort of phone games. You know, Hinge, in a way, is a video game.
Are you winning?
If you don't consider the other people human.
Nope. Never mind.
He's not doing very well. But we're going to go through the greatest video games of all time, based on what we've played, okay?
Yeah, brilliant.
Do you want to go first?
In at number three, I'm going to go with an old school video game that's kept me company many a times in the past, and it's Snake.
Oh, fantastic.
I think it's fantastic.
On the old Nokia 3310.
On the old Nokia, I was addicted to it.
Yeah.
Then in at number two, one that I had to literally separate myself from because it took a hold of me, and I haven't been back since. I've been clean for years.
It's the OnlyFans you're telling me about.
No. It is Football Manager.
Oh, yeah.
The Football Manager games are just so addictive, and it also tells you how many hours you've spent on them.
Yeah.
What are you going to say?
I think Football Manager is a load of shit, and I think it's one of the biggest scams in the world, actually. I think it's utter garbage, and I think it's fake, and I think it's rubbish, and I can't believe smart people play Football Manager. I think it's an absolute joke, actually.
There goes our fucking FM25 sponsor.
Do you know why, though? Because I need to know what the algorithm is behind the scenes that decides whether the training I did this week, or whether the coach I got from Gillingham, or whether I went for an inverted fullback, or a sweeper keeper. How is that actually affecting the game I play? The teams you're playing against aren't real. You're not controlling them. Even like FIFA, you're at least hitting the ball with a bit of power on the bar and aiming at the corner. On this, it's literally, let me just come up with something, and then a computer will tell me whether it was good or not. It's so far removed from, like, what you do being right or wrong. You might as well just go, what's your favourite game? Just rolling a dice and hope it hits six. That's literally all Football Manager is. As far as you're aware, nothing you do could change anything.
But isn't the joys of it the stuff you do?
Yeah, but you don't even know if
the joys of
difference.
Are you transfers? Are you fucking about your tactics? Are you having a good time in press conferences?
Yeah, but then you hear people like, I went through a different model. I didn't go for big transfers. We promoted through the academy and I won everything. We're like, okay, so if you can win doing that, you can win with the 4-5-1. You can win with the 5 at the back. You can win with 3. You can win playing like Pep. You can win playing like Conte. You can win with the academy. Like, you can just keep playing it long enough and you'll win the Champions League. You don't know that what you're doing is affecting things. And I hate that.
Yeah, but maybe the idea is you will always win.
Yeah,
but then that's what all games are.
Just open a fortune cookie
if your game soon is going to be, I did this and this, and then you win it. Then I'm going to be like, well, I'm fucking.
Do you know what I mean, though, Ethan? Not like I don't. There's no obvious correlation between what you do and success on Football Manager, other than it's.
Well, there isn't, though. You're basically 10 at the back, and I'm not going to win.
You're basically pressing the button on a roulette machine or on a cash machine or whatever it is. What are they called?
Yeah, but people love
fruity.
That.
A fruit machine. It's a fruit machine for people who think they know about football. Ethan?
I won £400 from that fruit machine with you, Joe.
Exactly, and you got lucky.
And let me just say this. A lovely lad, Kempy, who used to do our socials, is now dedicated his content career.
If anything, too much.
Life to Football Manager.
Oh yeah, sorry, Cam.
He loves it.
He does love it, and he's making a good job of it. But I do think this whole thing of like,
all right, it's
whatever
just my second,
you do,
isn't
you ended
it?
Up winning. Oh, gross!
I don't really play
games. A game where you actually affect the game.
The greatest game that ever was ever made, though, is Manual One, is Mario 64.
Oh, nice!
It's my favorite ever game. I can't believe how good it is.
Is that the one where it was like an open world and you're like behind him and he's jumping around?
Yeah, and there's a big castle. You run up to the castle, you do games and stuff, you win prizes. You try to get stars. You have to beat Bowser at the end. Oh my god!
That is a fantastic
just
game.
Grab him by the tail and fuck him off.
That's a really good choice.
You heard that Peach was actually a bit of a slag, I think.
Right, I'm going to do my top three video games.
No, stop! I can't wait to hear why.
No, we don't need to do this.
Because she just kept going around sleeping with Bowser and what's she called?
Bowser. You can't sleep with Bowser.
He kidnapped her.
What's he called? The dragon?
Waluigi or something.
Waluigi. What?
Waluigi.
Waluigi.
Or Wario, is it?
Well, they're two different people.
The yellow one.
Wario.
Yeah, you can't say that, Ethan.
Yeah, he kept shagging him as well.
Right. And what's up with that?
And she just kept manipulating Mario to come chase after her because she liked the attention while she was just shagging around all the supposed villains. Same with Toad.
He was shagging about.
Big mushroom Toad.
Wow. I bet. Right, what's your top three?
Top three. Number three, Fallout 3.
Fallout 3.
Did you ever play Fallout 3?
Nope. See, I can't really comment. Did you win?
Just a bit, mate.
Well, just whatever you're going to do.
But it's a campaign.
You go all the way to the shop and you win.
But
games.
But it's obvious that when you get a new gun, here's what damage it does to this type of species. Here's what damage that
when
one does.
When you get a new set of back, here's what good it does to your
no,
defense.
Oh, what's he got?
When you get
11
a
balance. When you oh, cool! What do you mean? Oh, and what does the scale go up to? 20. Like no other scale on Earth, by the way. Let's rate this film out of 20 stars. Why is it 20?
Because it's 20. It's like their thing.
Yeah, I know it is. It's crap. Oh, we've got this guy. Oh, we do lose
if
a little
do
bit.
Do you like
composure.
It? Do you like Football Manager?
Used to during COVID when I used to lead Everton to loads of cup finals.
What tactics did you do it with, big man?
Used to be quite direct, bully them.
Yeah, that's good because that's the only good one that man. Works. Oh wait, no, every tactic on Football Manager works if you just do it for long enough and click next enough.
I used to.
I love Football Manager. What do you do? I just click next 1,000 times. And then I win the league.
He doesn't understand it, does he? We're too brainy. It's too brainy for him.
He doesn't understand the community I built in that household. I got all the real fat Everton fans and those of my housemates to sing songs about me.
See,
such as like to do the Bastille song Happier.
Yeah, yeah.
The fans used to sing Ethan James is our manager. Ethan James is our manager. And like to the tune of Match of the Day, such as Ethan James is our manager.
Wait, hold on. Was there any other lyrics? Was there any other lyrics apart from Ethan James is our manager?
Here's another one. It was Wonderwall. Ethan James is our manager. That was a good one, wasn't it? Ethan James is a manager. Ethan James is our manager.
Nice.
Ethan James
and just sometimes like he's the James, and that's the way he likes it.
See, you don't get that for
that. That is good.
Right, what's number two?
Number two.
You don't even know.
Magic the Gathering Arena. It's a modern game, but what it's done is it's perfected Magic the Gathering to as close as you're ever going to get it on a digital setting, which I didn't think was possible.
Great. Sure you
what, do you think there's going to be a game that I say that ends up with you having free chicken wings?
No. All I'm saying is you slagged off Football Manager and you bring Wizards to the table.
Yeah, but do you know why Wizards is good? Because the card says what it does and you choose when and where to activate those cards
yeah,
and in which order.
The way
because
I used
tactical,
Bruno Fernandes in a 10, he was a wizard.
It doesn't
That's true.
Number one. It has to be Call of Duty 4, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it's a cracking game.
It's an unbelievable game. Revolutionised.
It's brilliant.
Completely revolutionised first-person shooters. Completely revolutionised not just the shooting mechanics and how the game plays,
yeah.
but the ranking system that just keeps you going for one
yeah,
more
yeah,
bar.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah,
cannot
yeah, yeah.
switch it off. Getting
it's
to level
great.
55, prestiging, going again, playing with your mates. Unbelievable game, that.
Brilliant.
Call of Duty 4, best game of all time, as far as I'm concerned.
Ethan, you're up, mate.
My top three games of all time at number three, FIFA 11.
Brilliant choice. Brilliant choice. And why 11?
The songs, I think that one, it might have been FIFA 12,
okay.
had Hit Me Like a Rock on it. And
it hits me like a rock.
Oh. Nice.
Actually. Yeah.
Great songs like that. And in at number two,
FIFA's great. No one picked FIFA. I'm glad it's on there.
Is FIFA 18?
Right. Oh, hold on.
Because
there's a little bit of a theme going on here.
That one was when I was at uni and we're all just like playing in each other's rooms.
Ethan James, James.
He is our manager. Right. Okay. So two FIFAs have been really important to you in your life. I get
that's
that.
Fair enough. It can happen where sometimes two of the same thing is really important. Number one? Fuck off.
In at number one, and I think you'll get this. Honestly, you're thinking right now, you know what he's doing, but you'll like this.
Go on then. Surprise us.
2010 World Cup FIFA game.
Oh, no, oh,
yeah, that's brilliant.
It's unbelievable.
It's
unbelievable.
Flew up the geography classes at school because
yeah.
of flying around the map.
Cameroon.
Yeah.
You know where that is now?
Uruguay.
And the rest.
What did you get tested on in geography then?
Like flags and like general geography as well, like where stuff is and yeah. that.
Where is that?
Hold on. So after you played that game, you just knew the flags of.
Because you go around the globe to find the nation you want to play as. So if you want to play as England, you need to know where England is on the map.
Same. The map would spin around and you could click different countries and stuff.
Yeah. Brilliant. What did you get in geography in overall?
B.
Brilliant.
Not bad. It's not bad though, is it?
Should have played a bit more than you would have got.
Imagine you just played a little bit more.
You just a little bit more, but you might have got away.
It's Oxbow Lakes for me, I'm afraid. I just couldn't get my head around it.
Right, that's going to be all from us. Thank you very much for joining us. See you later. Bye.
Bye,
Ethan.
Bye, see you. That was a good joke. That
Oxbow Lakes.
You just got to get your head around it.
Do you want another slice of pizza? Ugh.